Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, we get a chance to get to know the NBA Commissioner David Stern, who joins us, Mike and Chris. Yes, ROW in Albany here on Sports Radio 66. Commissioner, it was a wonderful story about UNSI. Great to have you with us today. How are you doing?
It's always a pleasure, as you know.
Thank you, Commissioner.
We got a chance to know you a little bit. I mean, that was, I know you didn't like that, you know, too much private stuff. The whole world got a chance to delve into what makes David Stern tick with Jack McCallum and SI.
I think McCallum violated his undertaking to me, but I forgave him.
Oh, you came across, you ought to be happy with that story, right?
I never happy about anything personal, but it was a very nice story.
It was a very interesting story. It was good to see you got that much steam going at 64. You were flying. I mean, he said,
Why shouldn't you be flying? You guys, you know, I'm getting sensitive about my age these days.
I'll tell you though, it sounds like you can keep up with the best of them.
Well, you know, Monday was opening night in Miami, and we also stopped on the way down for a sad event, Red Auerbach's funeral. Yesterday,
right.
Back up in Boston with a stop in New York to be part of opening night at the Celtics. And I'm actually resting now, guys. And,
how about that? Well,
tomorrow, Toronto, Sunday, New Orleans. If you want to come, let me know.
Well, you know, we'll make one of those trips with you. Let's start with
No, the only trip you're going to make with me is to a WNBA.
I know. I promise. Okay. One of these years, I promise.
Okay.
Now, Red Auerbach, start there.
You know, everyone talks about the competitiveness and everything else, and I like to focus on the fact that he was actually a big cream puff inside who, if you didn't let him help you or your family out in New England, he became offended because he always wanted to help his friends. And he was very much a gentleman, and we loved him. And, of course, he was all the other things. He's a gruff, tough, you know, wouldn't give any quarter if he was competing with you. And growing up as a Knicks fan, I didn't like him a lot. You know, we lost a person who had been with us for every opening night in the history of the league.
Boy, that is
is amazing. That is amazing. And also left as, you know, big a footprint as you could on the league, too.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, the Celtics were the league for a period of time in terms of their championship run. There was nobody else.
Does it bother you that he liked to play little mind games with opponents? I know the Lakers used to moan and groan about 97 degrees in a locker room.
Yeah, I tell you the truth. I think a lot of that was just he had so outpsyched them that if anyone sweated, they blamed it on Red. But I'm not sure he did all of the things, although he was happy to take credit for doing it.
You know, Clyde said last night, you know, on the Knicks game, he said, you know, one thing about the Celtics, there was never any towels in the locker room.
No towels,
there was
no hot water.
Never any hot water, never any air conditioning, never any heat. You know, you name it. And he allegedly did it. But so what? it was fun to – it was a great ride. What a wonderful life he led. And I used the phrase he was sort of our soul and our conscience when it came to basketball, and he was down to the end.
All right, Commissioner, let's start domestically and then get to the global stuff that we just read about in the SI. But let's start with the on-court stuff. We had Rod Thorne on yesterday. I said, Rod, do you think they're going to be as strict about demeanor on the court? He says, I think so. Well, you saw it last night. They're handing out technicals, so the message is clear about how you're supposed to act now on the court, right?
The message is clear. Play the game. You're the best athletes in the world. Let's continue to give our fans a great show, which is you playing basketball and not negotiating with the officials.
Rasheed Wallace, three tees for the Knicks. Rasheed Wallace thrown out in the third corner. So already,
you know, I didn't see the tape. I don't know what happened, but it's a relatively simple. At some point, it becomes an IQ test. In other words, if I tell you that if you keep talking to the official, you're going to get a technical, and if you talk beyond that, you're going to get another technical, you're going to get thrown out. Then the question is, what are you doing?
More power to you. I think it's the best thing you could do. The other thing is, I found it almost comical that you would utter this line. Guys, leave your guns at home. How about guys, no guns? Leave your guns at home. Is this the why? Are we talking to Billy the Kid and Jimmy Ringo?
I'm smiling. That makes me a big jerk for saying it. But the reality is that many, many professional athletes
have guns.
All sports are registered, licensed gun carriers.
Now, what does that say about society today that they have to have guns?
I guess what it says is that there are lots of guns out there, unlicensed. You only need to see the litigation that Mayor Bloomberg has brought against gun dealers who are happy to send unlicensed guns into commerce and not wait for periods to check, et cetera. And people who are celebrities and potential targets think that they need protection, which in some cases, I mean, obviously they're targets. You've seen what's happening.
No question. They should. I'm not saying they shouldn't have bodyguards or have security, but, you know, them carrying their own guns is kind of scary, isn't it?
Well, it is in the sense, from my perspective, that it makes them more likely to be hurt. That's the statistic that I've come to believe, that if you have a gun, it makes it more likely that you're going to get hurt rather than less likely. So that's why we negotiated with the Players Association. We didn't negotiate that players can't own guns. We negotiated.
You have no right to do that, right? You can't tell players not to own guns.
As a matter of collective bargaining, we probably could.
In other words, you probably could. Okay.
The union and the league but our first step the last time was to say, okay, you may have licensed guns, but you cannot, when you're involved with your team's events, travel, anything like that, you may not carry them.
Well, you can't take them across state lines anyway, I don't believe, right? I think it's illegal.
Well, it's a long story, but some states say that if you're licensed in another state, it's okay to carry them. But it doesn't matter, because if you're traveling an NBA business, you can't be carrying them.
Do you think the NBA last year with James and Wade... Well, do you think there's still a major issue as far as image is concerned with white corporate America? Well, not corporate, but just white America. I hate to bring that up.
But I
do think there is still that there's still a gap between your suburban fan and the NBA player. You think you've closed that some?
I think that we're in great shape. I really do. I think that the SI cover with LeBron, Dwayne, and Carmelo says one thing, but the more I look at the rosters that are packed this year with youngsters on the way up, they talk about those three, but Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, Chris Bosh, the veterans, think about KG, Tim Duncan, Kobe, Tracy, Paul Pierce, Chauncey, you name it. We've got the veterans, and the international players are an all-star team unto themselves. So I think we're doing very well. We had a solid season last year, third year of record attendance, ratings were up, and my guess is, I know for sure our attendance is going to be up this year, and my optimistic hope is that our ratings will be up this year, and that's hard to even have that projection because most ratings are going down no matter what, but I think we're going to have a very good year, and I think that we had a great year last year in terms of our players reclaiming their reputations. And the esteem in which they're now held, I think, is a result of people getting to know them.
Well, when you brought you talked about the three on the cover, and they made a point in the story of saying that LeBron and Wade had what is considered to be, for America, superlative Q ratings, where their favorable rating in a country was enormous. I mean, if you're over 20, it's great. And one was 25, one was like 30. So they both had very high ratings. When you brought those guys in, what was your message to those young stars when they said they all came to visit? What was your message to those guys?
It was just a hi. There was no message. It was, how are you doing? We're going to have a great year together. Keep up the good work. And that's it. And when you're in New York, come by to stop by. Each one was going to be in the city. I think LeBron was shooting the Letterman show, and Carmelo was in on some other business. Just very positive stuff.
Do you see LeBron as the guy who has to be that heir apparent to Jordan?
I give the same answer every time. There is not going to be one. We have where we're going to be at our best is when you see a team coming in and you say, I'd like to go see two or three guys on that team because I hear a lot about them. I want to see the team itself, et cetera. I mean, I think that when you look at the Phoenix Suns with Famari is healthy, if you look at the Chicago Bulls with Ben Wallace, if you look at, even Orlando with Dwight Howard maturing and Grant Hill set to be at his healthiest, I think that what's going to carry us now is a bunch of teams who have improved themselves and are going to be playing at a very high level.
All right. And last thing before Mike wants hits on some of this international thing, where do we stand right now locally on Brooklyn as far as the Nets are concerned? I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of things going on there. I know you're in favor of it. We are too. They should leave New Jersey. I don't know enough about the land grab aspect of the real estate deal in Brooklyn, but from a basketball standpoint, it makes perfect sense. I know you're for Ratner there. Give me your thoughts on them moving to Brooklyn.
I think that I know about the same as you know, what you read in the newspaper. I don't think it's a land grab. I think that the building itself and the investment that has to be made and bringing a professional sports team to Brooklyn was part of the arrangement that made the project feasible, worthwhile, and able to go ahead. Since it's been undertaken, there have been delays, there have been downscaling, and there are now a couple of approvals that need to be gotten, and we're waiting to see whether or what the timetable is for those approvals. And with that, if it happens, when it happens, we will be moving to Brooklyn, I would guess. And I think it's great, and I think most people think it's great, but if there's no development, then there's no arena and there's no Nets in Brooklyn. That's as simple as I can say it.
Fascinating what you think about. First of all, we know the NBA is very popular in Europe, and fascinating as you trek to Russia and you check to China, because it became very interesting in the story for the folks who didn't read it, that although you can see yourself as many, many multinational companies can and that are, you know, anchored in this country, doing business with Russia, doing business with China, you also have trepidation about doing business with them because of their politics and their, you know, human rights in China, politics and in Russia. I mean, it's an interesting thing you have to deal with.
McCallum was it was taking a sort of an off-the-record conversation we were having and making it into a publication. All I can say is that on behalf of the NBA, we're planning to go wherever business is, presents itself. Of course, there are issues in the newspaper every day about things going on within China and Russia. But an interesting kind of a way, I wonder, I read recently that Kim Il-jong was a huge NBA fan.
Really?
Yeah, there was an article this week that he actually watches games.
Oh, really?
And I wonder whether maybe we should send a group of players to calm him. Would that be good or would that be bad?
Don't send the Pacers.
No. Well, I thought we'd send them to do a site inspection.
Don't send Ron Artest, as you know.
Guys, I tell you, I read ESPN Magazine had an article earlier this year about an Iranian basketball league and American players. It had a dozen American players playing b-ball in Iran. Can you imagine?
But,
I mean, how great is that? And actually, we had an Iranian player in one of our Basketball Without Borders camps in Shanghai, a 7'5" player. You know, maybe the world should spend more time playing basketball and less doing something else.
But
you'd have to. And listen, it's a very tough spot. You know, you're a businessman. You got a lot of owners you have to be responsible for, and business in a lot of ways comes first. But you're very keen. You're an activist. You know what's going on. It does probably trouble you down deep that you do have to make some decisions based on business with some of these countries that don't believe in the same kind of things that you believe in, right?
Well, you know, I guess I would say the only way that the Beijing Games are now going to be played in clean air is that the factories are being shut down for 3 weeks before the Olympics, so the events can be run and the athletes can breathe and the tourists can enjoy themselves.
Well, this isn't an NBA thing. The world is now doing business with China because it's the great emerging market. But, you know, there's a lot of things about China people don't like. So, I mean, but they're still going to do business with them.
But by the way, we're going to, you know, NBA comes in peace. Our website is not filtered, and maybe we can do some good in terms of getting people to, get to know each other. I think Yao Ming is a terrific, terrific ambassador for the People's Republic of China, and it allows a number of Chinese citizens to learn more about the NBA through Yao's travels. So I try to take a positive look,
right?
And clearly there are enormous amounts of business being done around the world. Russia is a huge market. China is a huge market. every company that I know of is setting up offices and moving people there, and the NBA is going to be there taking advantage of those opportunities.
Commissioner, are you familiar with, or is it past your desk? Now, I just got someone in the newsroom who's a lot younger than us, or me, or even Dog here, hand me this thing about Ron Artest's new rap song, which includes NBA and you. Are you aware of this at all?
Yes, I read about it.
He comes at you pretty hard here. Is there any recourse from the NBA?
The only thing I read about was that he wanted to take me into the neighborhood and tell me how it is.
Well, here it is. I'll read it to you, and you can comment. Here it is. It says, this is from his first song on his new album, I guess, which comes out in 2 days, a rap album, okay? Which it says, it's called, a song called Haters. I admit I used to smoke before games, hit the liquor store at halftime. David Stern, damn David Stern, I got to teach you about the ghetto. There's some things you need to learn. Those are the lyrics.
That doesn't upset me.
You think he's still upset that you suspended him for the 1 year? That's what it sounds like.
Well, or...
Which is the right thing to do, we all know that.
No, but that's, you know, what that's a relatively tame, statement. I don't have a problem with
that. Don't. Okay. You know,
I mean, remember, we used to have Dennis Rodman in the league.
Yeah, if you could put up with him, you could put up with Artest.
No, but that's...
You know, but I always thought Rodman, the one thing about Rodman, as wacky as he was, I never thought Rodman was in any way destructive to anybody but himself. He was more comical than he was really nasty. I think some of these guys now, like Artest and a couple other players, are more nasty than they are comical.
Now, I must tell you that I think Ron Artest is actually a good kid who comes from very tough circumstances and is taking care of a lot of people and needs to perhaps manage some of his responses better. But I really do hope that he has a very productive career. He seems to be well set in Sacramento. And
he's a terrific player.
If you spend time with him, you would like him.
So you're okay with Artest? Oh, and you feel he's got everything under control?
Yes, he does, and I hope he keeps it under control.
Okay.
If the worst thing that anyone ever says about me is they want to take me into the hood to learn about what goes on there, I can live with that.
It's funny. Growing up rooting for those, Ray Felix and those old Knick teams that we were talking about that was written about in SI, do you ever think that in 50 years after that, or 30 years after that, you'd be the NBA commissioner for 25 to 30 years?
Not for a moment. I can assure you.
Is it fortunate that you got to this position in sports right now? I mean, hard
fortunate,
work.
Fortunate for who?
Well, I mean, hard. Well, fortunate for us as sports fans, but I mean, hard,
fortunate for his accountant. I can tell you that much.
I mean, hard work, obviously, but I mean, did you get a lot of breaks along the way? Do you think back about how? My goodness, I'm in the NBA commission here for 25 years now.
I think about how lucky I am. I got I have a terrific job. And I enjoy going to the office every day.
What's the secret to your longevity compared to the other commissioners?
They get burned out, you don't. How
no,
come?
They, that's not so. I mean, come on, look at Bud. I'm a young man. Bud's, got a few years on me.
Do you watch the other commissioners and see the jobs? I know you're close to Bettman. How about
course.
The football and the baseball? Do you watch
of
what
course.
They do?
Sure, Bud, was a friend, and Paul and I, our friends, and we know what the other does. And Paul practiced law longer than I did, and then he came into the NFL. So I think, what was he there, 16 years?
16, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm a kid compared to Paul.
And how about this? I didn't know you were such a Met fan. How about that Chavez catch? Did you watch Game 7?
No. I told you, I stopped being a Mets fan when they traded Seaver. No, that's not. That's not really true. But if you guys, I hate to sound like Vinny from Staten Island, but are you kidding me? Kuzman, Seaver,
Matlack,
Gentry, mm-hmm. and Nolan Ryan.
Yes, if you go that far
Holy
back, Nolan
Moses.
Ryan, yes.
What happened? I think the Mets are very exciting. I think that Fred Wilpon and his family are doing a great job there.
And a big Giant football fan. I didn't realize that. You like that? You're a big football Giants fan.
Well, I'm not a big fan. I'm a good fan. I've had tickets. Walter Kennedy got us tickets because he was in a travel agent business with Andy Robustelli. And in 1976, when the
Meadowlands opened,
Walter asked a still relatively young lawyer, and not at the NBA yet, whether he wanted to buy a couple of season tickets, and we've had those season tickets since 1976.
Boy, how about that?
Good. Mostly for the benefit. Now it's mostly for the benefit of employees of the NBA. It's part of our employee perk program.
And the state of the union is?
Terrific.
Terrific.
A new golden era about to start.
A new golden era.
Yep, these players.
And we didn't even mention the TV deal, so we're nice, huh? We didn't even get into any of that.
That's okay. You know, I tell you, I was going to ask Chris about baseball going to TV.
I told him.
Thanks for teeing it up. I appreciate it.
I told him.
Kamish, great to see you. It's great to get to know you a little bit through that story, too, so good luck. Keep it going.
And if you guys want me to yell at you personally, I'll come over there.
Anytime.
We'll see you again.
Thanks for covering us, and I'll see you at the WNBA.
You got it.
Goodbye.
3 o'clock with David Stern, Mike and Chris.
Couldn't even get him to bite on the art test thing.
I know you. Good job having that.
Well, who gave it to me? Mark did. Martell found it.
Wow.
Just came out. I mean,
Artest is still very, very spiteful today.
You think I'm going to find that song?
Absolutely not.
I mean, come on.
No.
I enjoyed hearing you read it.
Found it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I left out, it was one of the lines that didn't pertain to the commissioner. Here it is. It all pertains to the whole time. I admit I used to smoke before games, hit the liquor store at halftime. David Stern, I got to teach you about the ghetto. There's some things you need to learn. Matt Lauer up on NBC, you look like a girl, don't talk to me. Because remember, he went on Lauer the next day.
Yeah.
So that's the whole
episode. It still bothers
him.
He was mortified. That whole deal, Artest was mortified. JP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.